Now we are going to hear from Ms. Lo Joseph. She is responsible for supporting the Haiti Adolescent Girls Network, a coalition of international and Haitian organizations that came together after the January 2010 earthquake. Ms. Lutz is currently a resident for international health in the Partners for Change program through the Colin Powell Center at City College. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology as well as religious studies from University of Pittsburgh and has Master's of Public Health from Loma Linda University. She's going to talk to us about Act Global, Think Local, how the Haiti Adolescent Girls Network and local adolescent girls advocates can work together to create safe spaces for adolescent girls. Please welcome Ms. Joseph. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Thanks for coming out so early. I just want to know before we start, how many people have been to Haiti before the earthquake? Okay. How many people have visited Haiti after the earthquake and really just visited? Okay. How many people have worked in Haiti after the earthquake? Okay. So, good morning. I want to tell you a bit more about the Haiti Adolescent Girls Network and pretty much how the model that we implemented since the earthquake till about right now has impacted girl-centered program design in Haiti and just the lessons that we've learned being over there. And then I want to demonstrate how most of you can take this model and apply it to the work that you're doing right now. So if you'll follow me for the next 15 minutes, we'll be talking about that. So what exactly is this thing called HAGN? I know some of you, when it first came out, Girls Network, what exactly is it? Essentially, the initiative is one to help break the cycle of poverty help the cycle of poverty and violence for girls and peer mentors. Secondly, we are not another NGO that's based in Haiti. We are merely a platform that works with local grassroots organizations to strengthen and build their capacity. And I think this is really different. Also, the reason that this network and this initiative was started, as many of you know, after 2010, right after the earthquake, there were public reports, and for the first time, there was this articulation of sexual violence against young girls. And so it wasn't just a protection issue. It really became, why is no one addressing this need against young adolescent girls? And so the strategy that was used was that taken from Population Council, which is tested, and maybe some of you might know about Girl-Centered Program. Has anybody heard of that before? Okay, so this is a strategy that was introduced, and I'll talk about in just a bit, through the Population Council. So essentially, again, the Haiti Adolescent Girls Network was formed ad hoc in 2010 after the earthquake, based on the needs and the first reports that were coming out about sexual violence against adolescent girls. Initially, the partners, exactly. After 2010, maybe some of you know, the network was highlighted in the Clinton Global Initiative. And so right now, IPPF, where I actually sit, International Planned Parenthood Federation, Western Hemisphere region, is where the network actually sits. And so essentially, as I told you, because we're not an NGO, organizations that have the manpower, financial backing, are able to take the network and chair it. And in Haiti, we work with a local partner that actually implements all of this work. And so what you're looking at when you look at this list of partners, you're looking at the current chair, you're looking at some of our donors, and you're also looking at some people that provide in-kind technical assistance, such as Population Council, such as International Rescue Committee. But then you're also getting an idea of some of the implementers that we work with in Haiti that actually have girls groups, such as SOLFACDEV. And this is not at all an exhaustive list. In 2010, there was a great need. After about three, I don't know, is there anybody in the audience that actually was doing humanitarian work from the first 3 to 6 months after the earthquake in Haiti? Okay. So as many of you know, at the 90-day mark and again at the six-month mark, there were quick assessments that were done, and one of the things was just the need to not work in the working groups again with maybe the child protection and not necessarily women's protection, but what strategy was going to be put in place for adolescent girls. And going through cluster meetings, no matter how you feel about them, it was a space for practitioners to realize that there was this gap. And so essentially, humanitarian workers were the first to kind of report, again, this issue of needing to work with adolescent girls. And I just want to provide you with context. Before the earthquake, adolescent girls in Haiti did not have a space where they can go gather, meet, learn, laugh, and be safe. You can imagine right after the earthquake, those limited spaces were already gone. So it was very critical for us to create safe spaces for adolescent girls, specifically vulnerable adolescent girls. So the strategy, again, is through girl-centered programming. And the reason that this strategy was one that we decided to use, and the people that kind of formed the network decided to use, quite honestly, is because, one, it's been tested through many nations. To take a step back, girl-centered programming, for those of you that might know, adolescence for girls is already a vulnerable time in their life. And if you can imagine, if you're trying to navigate through this bridge, the opportunities just get smaller and smaller and smaller for girls, and it becomes more difficult to cross this bridge during this period. And their male counterparts have more opportunities. Males have spaces where they can go and play football. Girls do not. Males are generally allowed to go to school. They do not have to leave school because of their cycle, because they're the caregiver. So we already know these things. But again, right after the earthquake, practitioners and even people implementing longer-term development projects didn't know how to respond to these vulnerable girls specifically. And so the idea was, we're going to use the model that Population Council, again, has tested in many, many countries. Haiti is the first place of using girl-centered programming in a humanitarian setting. So we know that the model works. So again, that was the rationale for using it. Secondly, the rationale was we wanted to work with vulnerable girls. And when I'm talking about vulnerable, I'm not talking about the most elite girls. I'm not talking about the girls that are in school. I'm talking about girls ages 10 to 19 that are out of school, that are pregnant, that possibly have a child, that are sex workers, that are in servitude. This is who we really wanted to have access to, because these girls weren't in any other programs generally. So what have we been doing for the last 3.5 years, you might be wondering. First, since 2010, close to 22,000 girls have benefited from ISPASPAM programming. And so what that looks like is that we've worked with over 35 organizations in Haiti throughout three departments. For those of you that know the landscape of Haiti, primarily our group started out in Port-au-Prince, but went as far as Jacmel, Saint-Boniface, and in Fontainebleau, for those of you that are familiar with that. And we had groups as far north in Cap-Haïtien. We had groups that were, again, in the Deschapelles area. And so right now what we're working on is ensuring that our mentors are trained, because our mentors are the life force of this network. If these young girls aren't trained, we're not able to work with our beneficiaries, essentially. And so we have core programming in financial literacy, gender-based violence, leadership, sexual and reproductive health, and we try to incorporate new things such as media and communications. One of our groups does yoga in all their work, so we're trying to also be open and not expose the girls to just the traditional sexual and reproductive health, but incorporate, again, maybe permaculture. So this is something that's still growing. And in the future, what we're looking to do as we are finishing our strategic plan, over the next 5 years, our hope is that by the end of 2018, at a minimum, 7,700 girls would have benefited from ISPASPAM programming. So if you think about it, in 3.5 years, we've worked with about 2,000 girls. By 2018, what we're hoping in one program cycle, which is 10 to 12 months of programming, we'll have that many girls at once. So what are the elements of safe spaces? And one thing we know is that safe spaces build competencies that, again, vulnerable girls aren't able to get. These girls aren't in school. Some of them are working in the marketplace. So just something for you to kind of think about. One, it's a safe space that these girls can actually go to. That doesn't mean that boys are playing soccer in the space and then they give the space to girls, or boys are going through the space. It's actually a space from, let's say, 11 to 12 or till 1 p.m. that's actually for girls. Boys can't be in the space. Men are not allowed to be in the space. Number two, it's a place where friends, they're making friends. So this is really important, because a lot of the girls that we've worked with, as you can imagine, if you're a 16-year-old sex worker maybe in your neighborhood, don't necessarily have friends, you know. So a lot of programs traditionally that might be working with sex workers, it's all sex workers that meet, but truly they lost a lot of friends depending on the path that they went on. So we've learned that this is a place where they can actually make friends. After that, it's a place as well where you have access to mentors. And so mentors traditionally come from your community. So it isn't someone that's, if we're going to take the example here in Boston, it isn't someone that's from the Cambridge area that's working, you know, an hour out. We want girls that are in Cambridge or in Roxbury working with girls that are from Roxbury. And so when we look at maybe these key elements of girl programming, some of the things that you want to ensure, one, you always, we wanted to have a local name. So the girls actually helped us come up with the name ISPASPAM. ISPASPAM actually in Creole means my space. And that was really important, that adolescent girls are part of this design. So it isn't just expatriates or older Haitians doing all the programming, but again, working with these girls that are going to be part of the programming. Again, you're committing to meeting on a regular basis, which is very, very, very important. So our sessions are about an hour and a half, and they meet weekly for about a 10 to 12 month period. Again, you have mentors that are from the community that are older than the girls. So the age range for girls in programming tends to be 10 to 19. Mentors tend to be ages 19 to 24. Again, of course, there are exceptions, but we try not to have 40-year-olds in the mentor position. So what are some of the lessons learned? Number one, it's possible to serve the most vulnerable girls through deliberate recruitment. It can be done. It has been done. Number two, you need to take the excitement from the grassroots organization and provide them with strong technical assistance. And this is something that we've had 3.5 years to learn from, but grassroots organizations want to do this work. They also need groups to come in, provide them with technical assistance, not necessarily do all the work for them, but have an ally there for them. And so we've done boot camps in Haiti for groups that are interested in this. Number three, you want to make sure that you're writing curriculum that's centered on adolescent girls and that ensures that you're thinking about the mentors, because they're the ones that are going to be delivering the content. Number four, really thinking and addressing local realities. If any of you know Haiti, you know classism is an issue. Going through the groups, one thing we were able to see is that skin bleaching is a problem that's starting to come out. And quite honestly, some of the expatriates, and when I say expatriates, I'm talking about expats, meaning those that were white, were not, again, able to handle this situation or even see the nuances of skin bleaching, because they were like, hey, all the girls in the room are black. What's the problem? But quite honestly, we knew if these girls had no money and were the most vulnerable and were taking the limited amount of funding that they had and putting into skin bleaching, these spaces, again, were a place that we could start to talk about this issue. And so having a local staff, it's really, really critical that people are talking about the issues that they're seeing. So just a little bit of the conclusions and recommendations. One, it's possible to work with the most vulnerable girls. You can do it. It has to be deliberate. Number two, you can replicate these spaces and create safe spaces for diabetes programs, for your HIV programs. This can be replicated. And you can start small. You do not need to go out and capture 1 million of the most vulnerable girls. Start small. One thing that I want to leave you with, and Judith Bruce, for those of you that might know it, one of these pioneers in girl-centered programming, always says that there's evidence of girl-centered design working successfully with almost every segment, important segment of disadvantaged girls. And I think you really need to think about that as you move forward in designing your programs. So thank you so much for your time. Mm-hmm.